We are going to, today's Bible study is not mystery, so to speak. It is something that just to encourage us to serve the Lord much better. Thank God for what He is doing. Despite the rain, people defy this water. Why will God not bless us? I know some people that will say because of this rain now, they will not come for fellowship. But we thank God for our revelation. That come rain, come shine, nothing can stop the worship of the Lord. And it's only those who have come for revelation that can do that. May your eyes of revelation remain open in the name of Jesus Christ. So in today's service, in today's Bible study, we are looking at a topic titled The Need for Spiritual Growth. The Need for Spiritual Growth. Please, I want us to be very attentive. I want us to be very, very attentive. For what we want to share has so much to do with our internal destination, has so much to do with our relationship with God. The need for spiritual growth. When a child is born again, it is essential, it is important that it grows to fulfill purpose. When a child is just as if a child is giving birth to, there is need for him to grow to be able to fulfill his purpose. And so it is spiritually. When you are giving birth to, there is need for you to grow, for you to fulfill the purpose of your salvation, for you to fulfill the purpose for which you are giving life. We are the people that have received life. This topic we want to share today is not for unbelievers. Unbelievers are already dead. Every unbeliever is dead spiritually. You know why? They have been separated from the author of life. And we were all dead before, until God, by his mercy, came and brought us back to him through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is why we need to celebrate him. We were all dead. Every unbeliever is dead. Is dead waiting for what? Waiting to be consumed. To go to the fire, to go to hell, and from hell to hell fire. We were all sentenced to that destruction until mercy came down and brought us from that path and gave us life. If you have received life, damn your hands together for the Lord. So it is because you have received life that this topic is brought forth to let you know the need for you to grow. For it is not enough for you to receive life. Brother Assembly Church now, for the past 25 years, God has empowered the church to be giving life to the children of God. For that is the purpose for which it is raised. The essence of Brother Assembly Church is to what? To restore the children of God back to their maker by receiving the Spirit of Christ and prepare them for his soon coming. That is the essence. So, and for the past 25 years, life is being given. Eternal life has been given to the children of God. So, we want to admonish through today's teaching the need to grow. Praise the Lord. I think the first slide, the need for us to grow. Brethren, like I said, the teaching is not for unbelievers. If there is any unbeliever sitting now, it's just for you, first of all, to ensure that you receive life. Because you cannot grow when there is no life. It is because there is life that there will be growth. Growth is one of the evidences of life. Now, let me start with this introduction. Please, I want us to be attentive. The first creation, when God created Adam, the essence for the creation of Adam, God has a purpose in mind for creating Adam. Please follow. God created Adam for a purpose. That is to see Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 7. said the first Adam was created in the image. For Adam to fulfill the purpose that God has in mind for him, God created him in his image and likeness. God did not create the animals. He did not create any other, the plant or any other creations in his image. He created Adam in his image. Why? To fulfill his purpose. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose, an agenda in mind that he wants to fulfill. That was the reason why he created Adam in the first creation, in his image, to fulfill purpose. We find it in Genesis 1, 26 to 27. And through Adam that he has created, that Adam will bring forth children in the image of God. For he gave you commandment to all his creation, give birth to his kind, that every child that Adam will give birth to will be in his image. And when they are in the image of Adam, which is the image of God, they will be able to fulfill the purpose of God. I want us to be established that, that God created Adam, created him in his image for a purpose. And the purpose, if you read the 27, say to subdue, to replenish, to dominate, to worship, he atomized it. It was for that purpose. But what happened? Unfortunately, the image for which Adam was created that could have enabled him to fulfill the purpose of his creation, what happened to that image? What happened to that image? It was perverted. The image, the children of God we see today now, except those who have been born again, the satanic image, the character that we manifest, they are not God's character. The way we were doing things before we came into Christ were not in the likeness and the image of God. So that image, which is the character, the nature, the way God does his thing, was perverted. And that is the reason why there is need for what? For salvation. If that image has not been perverted, if that purpose for which Adam was created had been in view, if Adam had the capacity to fulfill that purpose through the image in which he was created, there would not be need for what? Salvation. So why did salvation come? Salvation came to do what? To restore man to that image. Are we together? Salvation was necessitated to restore the image that Adam lost through sin. You find it in Romans 5:12. It is through its disobedience, the sin, that sin came upon all human beings, and that image was totally perverted. And man could not fulfill the purpose. So, salvation came to restore that image. So the perversion of that image necessitated the second creation. The second creation came through who? Came through who? The last Adam. Jesus Christ. For what purpose? To restore that image. And that is the essence of salvation. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Let's quickly read that. The essence of your salvation is to be restored to the image of Christ for a purpose. The essence of this teaching is for you to know the purpose for which you are saved. Because without knowing the purpose for which you are saved, you cannot fulfill that purpose. Praise the Lord. Look at it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you read it from verse 28. Oh, let's take it from verse 28. It mentioned the purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want us to be emphasizing purpose. Purpose. Because a whole lot of people think that salvation, please pay attention, I'm going to say some things that might sound very controversial, but when you hear me well, you will know I am making sense. A lot of people think that salvation is all about you just receiving eternal life. Please follow. And immediately they receive eternal life, you see nonchalance about the things of God. You see lackadaisical attitude. You see no zeal. It is one of the reasons why this place is not filled up by now. It is because many people lack the purpose of their salvation. If people of God that have been given eternal life know the reason why they are given eternal life, by 9 a.m., this place is filled up. Please follow. It is not enough for you to receive eternal life. Even though it is so important that you receive eternal life for you to be able to fulfill your purpose. Adam was created in the image of God to fulfill a purpose. The image was scattered. That necessitated salvation. Jesus Christ came to restore that image. For what purpose? For man to fulfill a purpose. And for man to be able to fulfill the purpose, he must be in the image of Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the image of God. The character. When you want to see God, Colossians 1:15 makes it clear now. Say, Jesus, who is what? The image of the invisible God. Even Hebrews 1:3 says so too. The express image. You are looking for God that is invisible. See Jesus. But I just want to, because it is upon this foundation I will build this teaching. That your salvation is for a purpose. Praise the Lord. And the earlier you understand that purpose, the better for your Christianity. Praise the Lord. For man to fulfill the purpose of his salvation, that is the reason why he needs to listen to the admonition of Apostle Paul. For you to be able, you are saved for a purpose. For you to fulfill that purpose, second, that is the last word of Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Let's just read it. He said what? But grow in grace. Two things he emphasized here. We delve into it. And in the knowledge of our God, of our Lord and Savior, grow in grace and in the knowledge. Two things. But brethren, salvation, generally, the second slide, because this thing needs to be understood. Salvation, the second slide, item. Second slide. I want to clarify this salvation because it will make me to move faster. That the salvation, second slide, IT. Now look at it. Why are you saved? Please pay attention because what I want to say here might be controversial. But if you pay attention and listen with the eye of revelation, you will know. Salvation, pay attention, by religion, by popular opinion, by a general belief. This is the understanding that the generality of the people of the world have about salvation. That salvation is the process of being saved. If you check your dictionary, you will see this. It says the process of being saved from hell. And there is a scripture for it. Salvation is what? The process of being saved from hell. And there is no truth. There is no doubt about it. Is that not what John chapter 3 verse 16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in shall not perish, but have eternal life. Is that not? That the process of being saved from hell, that is if you define salvation by religion. But we are not serving God by religion. We are serving God by what? By revelation. The word of God must be rightly divided. It must be rightly divided. Now, if you say your salvation is just for you to be delivered from hell, that is achieved immediately you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Immediately you receive Christ. Immediately you are born again by the Spirit of God. You are automatically delivered from hell. Are you following? Immediately you are born again by the Spirit of the living God. You are passed from death to life. And no power, no kingdom can unsave you. That is the doctrine of eternal security. And can I shock you? That this salvation, to be delivered from hell, you have no part in it. For you to be delivered, it is all an agenda of God. For you to be delivered from hell, you have no input in it. Like I said, it will sound very, very controversial, but pay attention. For you to be delivered from hell or hellfire, it is all about what? An agenda of God. Do you know? You don't have any part in it. It is all an agenda of God. That is why I want you to know that you are saved. You receive eternal life. It is not enough reason. You should celebrate that you know now you have life, you are passed. But it is not enough reason for you because you did not work for it. You did not work for it. You did not earn it. It was what? Freely given to you. Ephesians 2:9. Please, quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. It was given. He said, not of work. For by grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. And not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. This is salvation from hell. For your name. For you not to experience hell. You didn't have any part. It is God's agenda. It is all God's what? Agenda. And that is what Romans chapter 8 verse 28 to 30 explain. That because your name is already in the book of life, before the foundation of the world, at the appointed time, God will make a way for you to what? To escape air and have life. Please, are you following? No part. And now, if you say salvation is just the process of being saved from hell, and you limit it there, that all that salvation is about is just for you to receive eternal life, then we begin to question why are we going to be? Why is Apostle Paul encouraging us or admonishing us in Philippians 2:12? Philippians 2:12. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. It didn't say work for your salvation, no. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is therefore you can't work for your salvation. You have been saved. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 verse 13 that say, he that endureth to the to the last shall be saved. Please follow me. Why is it? But he that endureth to the what? To the last shall be saved. Why is Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27? Saying, I put, but I keep under my body. Now, here, before Apostle Paul made this statement, has he been saved? Please let it be interactive. Why was, has Apostle Paul been saved? Salvation in this context is being delivered from hell. Has Apostle Paul received eternal life? So why is he saying, for I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If it is all about, after he has been saved, he has been delivered, why is he making this admonition? Brethren, I submit to you that salvation is much more than receiving eternal life. The second divination, through the dividing the word of truth. Salvation by revelation now, see what it means, is the process of being saved from hell first. But you don't stop there. And what? And fulfilling the purpose of being saved from hell. I put it this way. I didn't want to use big grammar. Can you see two things? Salvation. First, you are saved, delivered from hell. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness into light. But that is the beginning. Praise the Lord. That is what? The beginning. The beginning of your salvation. Your salvation end. Let me put it in summary. The total, your salvation end with you being translated from the kingdom of darkness into life, which is you receiving eternal life, and fulfilling the purpose for which that life is offered to you. Until that is achieved, your salvation is not complete. Please mark it all. I'm not saying that your salvation is not complete when you have not. Your salvation is already complete to receive life from hell. To receive life, to be delivered from what? From hell. That is salvation according to the generality, the understanding. But when you are delivered from hell to life, the purpose for that deliverance, for purpose of you to be saved, you will now begin to achieve it. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Now, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The people of God, they were under torment, oppression in Egypt. Praise the Lord. They were under oppression. Though it was an agenda of God for a purpose. But see what God told Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus said the Lord, let my people go. Let my people be delivered. And do what? And do what? And serve me. So, any salvation that you have and you are taking away the service of the Lord, which is to fulfill the purpose for which he saved you, it is not complete. But what we try to correct is somebody's telling you that you are not yet, that you are not yet saved from air, even though you have received baptism of Holy Ghost. That is what, it is an error. Immediately you receive the baptism of Holy Ghost, you are already saved from air, and nothing can bring you to air. But for you to be saved, totally saved, to fulfill the purpose for which life is offered to you, there is something you must achieve. So it is not enough. I have received baptism of Holy Ghost. And you begin to live. And you begin to be relaxed and be cold. We are going to go to service today. You look at the weather. The weather is cloudy. You sit at home. Little did you know that the life offered for you, the one that offered that life for you, is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. This teaching is not for unbelievers. It's for those who have what? Received life. That the life that you are offered, it is not for you to go and sit down. It's not for you to go and begin to live and be nonchalant about the things of God. That is the saying, to whom much is given. To whom much is given. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days. Was it before he received his eternal life himself? Was it before he received the Spirit of God? I want somebody to understand something. He fasted. It's 40 days. When did he fast? After what? Brethren, the real work of your salvation. Hope you have understood my divination. That the essence of your salvation, receiving eternal life first, because without that eternal life first, the nature of God, you cannot even do it. You can't even understand what is called salvation. It is primary that you receive that salvation, which is the for you to be, your nature to be changed, for you to be removed among those that have been sentenced to hell back to life. It is the platform upon which you begin to run. Praise the Lord. Now, when you receive it, Jesus Christ, who is our standard, Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, because he knew. Do you know Jesus Christ was also saved? I said I will say something that will be very, that will sound controversial. By my own divination, by that revelation, that divination given by revelation, do you know Jesus Christ was also saved? Hebrews 5:7. Hebrews 5:7. Somebody read. In the context of salvation, which is after you receive life, fulfilling the purpose. It is after you fulfill that purpose that you say you are saved. Look at what Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 5:7. This is who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered all prayers and supplication with strong crying. When did this happen? When did this happen? At the mountain of God bless you. Please put your hands together for the Lord. Look at somebody who is the eternal life personify himself. Look at it. With strong crying and tears unto him. Who is he praying to? God. To his father. Unto him that was able to save him. Is salvation here about receiving eternal life? Is it about receiving eternal life? It's about what? Fulfilling the reason why he came. John 6:38. To know the purpose. He knew why he came. He knew why God gave him. He said when he was baptized. Okay, look at this. Look, he knew why he came. For I came down from heaven. Not to do what? Not to do my own will. But to do what? The will of him that sent me. Now, for him to do this will, it is after he has fulfilled this will, he will say, I am saved. It was that reason he went for the 40 days. We have completed 21 days of fasting. Now you have relaxed. It's all over. I have received baptism. Now it is time for you to even go for 100 days. For if you know the purpose for which that life is given to you, if you know the purpose for which eternal life is offered for you, you know it is now that the work begins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you following? 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 and 8. Lack of understanding of this has produced lukewarmness among the end time message believers. Some say there is no more evangelism, no fire. Lack of understanding of this have made people to compromise their faith. Feeling that, let's take this. I said 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Look at this. I have fought a good fight of faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, hang it there. Hang it there. Every one of us that has been given eternal life, there is a course. There is a course. There is a race in Hebrew. And until you finish your course, brethren, no jubilation, no celebration. Praise the Lord. There is a course. Let me bring it up very clearer. Many of us went to a higher institution. Us. Is it at matriculation? Matriculation is when they welcome you on board to the. Is it that time that you will celebrate because you have been listed among those to pursue course? But where is this, the greater joy? At the what? Convocation. But do you know there is a convocation that is awaiting us? Do you know there is a convocation that is awaiting us? I said this teaching is not for unbelievers. It is for those that have received life. The convocation is not here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It is until the master who has enlisted you in your course is able to say, well done, my servant, for completing your course, for fulfilling the purpose for which I gave you eternal life. It is at that time that you will say, thank you, Lord. You begin to. He said what? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is judgment for rewards. That everyone may receive what? The things done in his body. According to that he has done, whether he be what? Good or bad. You know you can have eternal life through your lukewarmness. God has given you grace to serve and you keep the talent. What are you doing? You are doing bad things. And you will do what? You will receive the reward for it. But it's not going to be a palatable reward. May somebody not be a castaway at the seat of judgment seat of God unto the world in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can be saved. Now I want somebody to understand. You can be saved and still be a castaway. Cast away yet does not mean that you can be lost. Cast away yet means you can be saved and not be rewarded. On the day of convocation, you see everybody that was matriculated, that received congratulations. You see everybody, when we were matriculated that time, we were 150. By matriculation, we were only 75. What happened? What happened? Fall away. When they left Egypt, how many? They were in millions. But how many people? But how many people? This is not talking about you receiving. You have received eternal life. But how many people were able to fulfill the purpose for you they saved and they received reward? How many people? Let's make it clearer. 1 Corinthians 2:9. People are just, they've received eternal life. But the zeal, the commitment, the vibrancy that we are supposed to see when people who have received life in their dedication and commitment to the program is missing because they thought it is hooray, it's all over. I have received eternal life. Who told you? That is salvation by religion. That is what salvation by religion. Salvation by revelation. It is after you have received that eternal life, you fulfill the purpose. You think it is easy for somebody to go to the cross of Calvary to die just for you to just change your address from A to... No, it is much more than that. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. I quote tell the scripture. Now look at it. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. This scripture. Now, since we have agreed without any iota of doubt that you did not do anything for salvation, this is talking about reward. What are you going to be? This eye have not seen the glory that awaits. Is it for those that just went to sit down after they receive eternal life? Is it for those? It is those who fulfilled that salvation, who fulfilled the purpose. Brethren, when you receive eternal life, the battle began, or the battle begins. It is through overcoming all the battles, the challenges you are going to face, because devil knows that you have been where he could not go. Where he could not go, it could not end. You have already had access. Now it's for that purpose. He will begin to fight you with everything. And it's for this reason that Jesus said, he that endure, not endure to be saved, to move from earth to heaven. No. He that endure the persecution, the torment, the trial, the challenges that will come as a result of fulfilling the purpose for which you are saved, that we see that glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eternal life, you didn't work for it. So what is the word? Is somebody understanding me? Are we following? Which is the word? You only be rewarded for what you earned. You didn't work for it. So the salvation by revelation that I have quoted is you, after receiving that eternal life, you do everything to fulfill. Look at what Jesus Christ went through to fulfill, for him to be saved. Let me put it that way. When I say to be saved this time around me, for him to fulfill. Look at every denial. Look at all. Look at all that he went through. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Salvation is not just about you getting eternal life and say it is all over. Look, he said, wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's do what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. And do what? And do what? Let us what? Run. Please hold it there. This one is not run for you to receive eternal life. Run for what? Run with patience. The race that is set before you. It is after you have received eternal life that race is set before you. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now look at him. Look at him. Who for the joy. Please hold it there. And this is what every believer should have, his eye of understanding. To be looking at what lies ahead, the glory. The eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has he entered the heart of what God has prepared. That is what to encourage every believer. Not to compromise their faith. Not to be lukewarm. Not to commercialize their gift. We get back to that. See all the day. Jesus Christ looking at what he will stand to be rewarded with. Look at it. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at it. Despising the shame. They slap him, they mock him, They flogged him. They did all manner. Look at the gruesome crucifixion they gave to him. And see what happened. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. After he has fulfilled the purpose for which he came. Praise the Lord. To every child of God who has received eternal life, there is a race that is set before you. Have you discovered that race? Are you walking? Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. I just want to thank God for the Lord's general, for the grace. Because we are dividing the word of truth because we are not, there is a room that is given to progressiveness of revelation. Assuming we are already caged to quotes, even when the Holy Ghost is speaking, you will not be able to receive. But we are traveling on the right road. I said we are traveling on the right road. Brethren, what I am sharing now, immediately after the vigil yesterday, I slept. It was from my dream. I started hearing certain things. Immediately I woke up and I started jotting. And as I was confirming it in the scripture, and lo and behold, when the rapture, something that I was actually having doubt with, when the rapture was being heard, everything that I received, that I woke up with, and I wrote it down, and I cross-checked in the scripture that I saw, were the things that our daddy in the law were saying. And how many of us watched Rapture Watch yesterday? How many of us watched it? Rapture Watch. Eh? Rapture Watch. Watching for the soon coming of your Savior. You did not watch. How can you fulfill purpose? How can you fulfill the purpose for which he gave you eternal life? Then what was the purpose of the rapture watch? Even if I'm not at home, I will connect to my phone. Wherever I am, I want to be watching, to hear things that will properly. Brethren, know assuredly in your heart that eternal life that you have received, is to put you on a platform. That nature, you need your nature to be changed for you to fulfill the purpose for your creation. For you to fulfill the purpose of why you are here. Now it is when that spirit has been given unto you that the journey begins. Praise the Lord. The scripture I quoted, Apostle Paul admonishing, said, thou therefore, endure what? Endure what? Is it not hardness for you to you know, you come to VG after the prayer? Remember that time we used to have house fellowship? We go to house fellowship, you start running. So much difficulties in the service. But because of what lies ahead, say thou therefore endure as a what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is why we call ourselves soldiers of the Lord. Soldiers are who? Soldiers are those who endure difficulties. You endure difficulties. See, enough of butter and bread Christianity. It will not achieve you to be saved. Know my language. It will not help you to be saved. Saved in fulfilling the purpose for which your eternal life is offered for you. The truth of the matter, because you are not enlisted, there will be what? Persecutions. There will be what? Trials. There will be challenges. And a promise. That is why Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, the essence of the teaching, which is spiritual growth. I just have to lay that foundation to know what we are sharing. That for us to fulfill the purpose for receiving eternal life, Apostle Paul is giving us admonition. Which is spiritual growth? 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. For you to grow, for you to now, when Luke chapter 2, verse 49, we take 49, we take 52. After Jesus Christ himself, he has received the Holy Ghost, he said, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Why ye wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He knows that is the reason why. Verse 52 now. We want to talk. Verse 52. And Jesus Christ increased in what? In wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Jesus Christ grew. He grew in revelation. He grew. He grew in the knowledge. And Apostle Peter is admonishing us to grow for two reasons. Grow. In first, that same 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, as newborn babies, we want to go into spiritual maturity. For you to be able to fulfill that purpose for which eternal life is offered to you, there is need. He said, as newborn babies, some of us have just received eternal life. We are born again. He said, desire. Desire what? The sincere milk of the world, that you may grow what? Thereby. You must be spiritually what? Mature. The next slide. The next slide. Grow. So the two things that Apostle Peter itemized in that admonition. Two for them. Grow in grace. Number one. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Now, when you have received Christ, eternal life, every believer who is born again by the Spirit of the living God is given grace. You have been given grace. Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians 4:7, what does it say? Everyone, it's a grace you are giving that you now have the supernatural ability of God now to be able to fulfill purpose. Say, look at it, but unto every one of us, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. When you are born again, you have received eternal life, there is a grace. There is a gift. It is for every born again Christian, not only servants of, not only those that are in the fivefold ministry. Anyone who is serving the law is a servant of the law. We were in the other kingdom of darkness. We were serving Satan. We were serving sin. But we are translated into a new kingdom. We have a master. As you are serving him, who do you become? A servant. And there is a grace that is given to you to be able to what? Fulfill the purpose for which you receive eternal life. Praise the Lord. Let this slide remain there. That grace, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, is talking about the same thing. 1 Corinthians, that is the nine spiritual gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the eternal life that is given to you, is given to everyone to profit with that. What does it mean? That grace that is given to you, you are to trade with it. You are to exercise it. You are to use it to advance the kingdom of God. Luke 19:13. You have not just received eternal life to begin to go home and just sit down and be waiting for rapture. You have not received eternal life to just to begin to clap your hands without doing anything in appreciation to the one who has given you eternal life. Look at it. And this is the parable of the talents. And he called his 10 servants. this time servant is not talking about the fivefold servants of God, or the apostle. It is all that have received eternal life from him. What did he do? He called his 10 servants and delivered them, amen, 10 pounds and said unto them, go and sleep. Go and sleep. Go and live anyhow. Go and do what? Tell your neighbor, are you occupying? Tell your neighbor, are you occupying? Which part of the kingdom are you advancing? Are you occupying? And it is on the basis of your occupation, how you are using the grace that's given to you to serve, that there is going to be a reward. That there is going to be a what? A reward. As a random, you can be saved by receiving eternal life and still be a castaway. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I told you of the meaning of being cast away and still not be congratulated at the end of your journey. You are passed from time to eternity and still not yet be rewarded. The time you have received baptism, the time is now. Begin to contend. Begin to fight the good fight of faith. Begin to put everything that you see that is in the Bible and begin to walk. Begin to use the talent. God's willing, we shall continue next Sunday. God's willing. Bow down your ears and begin to appreciate God.